That's right. We're riding with the king on a Monday after a wild victory by the Phillies last night. We have a 1-1 series. This thing is heading back to Citi Field. And joining us right now to talk about it is Howard Eskett, sponsored by McGurk's Pub & Grill. Get ready for game days at McGurk's Lionville. Their newly updated bar is the perfect spot to bring your squad for all the Red October action and to enjoy the birds on Sundays. Howard, how are we doing today?
Oh, we're just fine, Joe. I'm just trying to, after listening to you, I'm trying to figure out which corner I can have my hot dog cart for the parade. So I'm just trying to figure out the corner. And today, and as we speak in seconds, a rare moment from me to Hugh Douglas. Kudos and compliments to Hugh Douglas. Rocky would be proud.
That's right. That's right. He would be proud.
It was too, hey, Howard, it was just too much, man.
It was a big hit. It didn't give him a lead, but it was a big hit. It got him started, and that's great. But, you know, there's too many, and he's not the only player that loaded with cliches, because too many players in today's world of post-game and pre-game and all kinds of interviews have cliches. A fictional character. You know, I'm trying to find a text to see if Rocky was proud, and I can't find the number. There is no number. I can't find it. Why don't we just get a lot of fictional characters? And then he also said, and again, what he did, and he had a couple of hits. And did he have a couple of hits or just a one home run?
Three hits. He had the single in the eighth, the single in the ninth, and then the home run.
Well, the ninth he walked, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he walk?
No. It was Bryce or Castellanos? Bryce. Bryce had home run, and then I guess it was a walk later, yeah.
Right, okay. So, whatever. And then he talks about, we're going up to New York, and it's going to be a hostile crowd.
It will.
It's a road game. They always are excited, especially for the play. Hostile? Do we need security?
Maybe.
I mean, it's just...
Let them have fun? They just want... You guys are the biggest wet blankets. They just won one of the most dramatic playoff games in Philly's history.
Show some, you know, some real genuine, I don't, come on, he's smart enough. He's a very intelligent guy. He's smart enough. You don't need to use cliches and fictional characters. It was an exciting game, and, you know, we're pumped, and I could tell the fans were pumped. Don't give me Rocky would be.
Well, they did set him up with the heavyweight fight, back and forth. What do you want him to say? You want him to say Ali Frazier? What do you want?
Well, the media are idiots. Heavyweight fight. I didn't see.
You are the media. Yeah, you're in the media, Howard.
Well, yeah, but I didn't see a punch thrown. So I don't know if it was a heavyweight. How do you know?
It's a figure of speech.
Wait a minute. They're middleweights. They're not heavyweights. Alvarado's the only heavyweight.
I mean, come on.
Alonzo's kind of a heavyweight.
Hey, yeah, it was a great win, but I'm just complimenting you, Douglas.
Someone has to. You should feel terrible, Hugh.
Yeah. All right, Howard, let's talk through this thing. 1-1 series. How do you feel about the series? So the Mets got a split, which is what they wanted, but obviously the Phillies, you know, saved themselves yesterday from a big 0-2 hole.
Okay, so if you're the Mets, you're looking at, hey, all we wanted was a split in Philadelphia. Okay, the same thing San Diego and the Dodgers. All right, and that's what teams want when you play the first two games on the road. So they got the split. However, so they're looking at it, okay, we got the split. And the Phillies are looking at, yes, they had a win. It was bad that they lost the first game with their best pitcher. But they had to win the game, down 3-0. It didn't look pretty. But, you know, it was big. You had to. Once you lose the first game, you are deep, deep trouble. But, you know, this is not a gimme. The Mets are spunky is probably not the right word. But they play, you know, both teams play hard. I'm not going to say either team doesn't play hard. But, man, they just don't stop. I mean, the fact that they tied it up in the ninth inning, and they've done that before, and they won in the ninth inning in the first, what's the eighth or ninth inning in the first game. The Mets, I think, had a better record than the Phillies in the last month of the season. And they only had six less wins than the Phillies. So they're a good team. It's not a gimme just because the Phillies won. Now, what the Phillies did, they got some big hits. They got two out hits, which is not a common thing for them, which is really, really, really good. But I disagree with you, Joe. How about this? I compliment Hugh Douglas and disagree with you. That was a panic move, taking Boehm out of the lineup. And don't give me this Sosa's my energy guy.
Why?
What do you mean? The other players on the team don't have energy?
Well, I don't like the energy from Boehm when he looks like he's in tears when he strikes out.
You know, he's not happy with himself, but Sosa gave you no hits and an error. And Sosa's a nice backup player. But in the second game of the series, to go that, and I like Rob Thomson, but I don't agree with that move. And it didn't accomplish anything.
But no, really, I think it showed a sense of urgency. He didn't have that last October.
I think that was the move he was trying to, just to do something, trying to get the spark.
Okay, you're trying to do something. I think Boehm, for most of the season, not all the season, was their most consistent hitter. I like the way he goes with, no, he wasn't doing it in the first game. I like the way he goes with pitches. He hits the ball where it's pitched. He doesn't try to hit home runs. He just does what he's supposed to do as a hitter. And he didn't do it for one game, so they bench him? I mean, come on.
No, I think it's more than that. He didn't hit down the stretch. I mean, if you look at his numbers, he had a great month of April. If you look at Boehm since the end of April, it's been blah. I mean, he has not been very good for a while now.
I like Boehm. I mean, I like Boehm. I think, I really, of all the players that I looked at that made improvement this year, and I think he made improvement, and I just like the way he swings the bat most of the time. You know, who's consistent? What players are consistent in that lineup?
Well, Harper.
Well, Harper hit 280 something. He had his low moments where he wasn't hitting, but he had strikeouts. It's just, you know, when you look at, you know, it's crazy. And the two players that came into free agency at the same time, Machado and Harper, you know, their numbers are almost identical.
Yeah, strikingly similar for their careers. They really are.
I know. It's unbelievable. And Machado, and the Phillies were ready to go the Machado route because they felt Harper wanted too much, or Scott Boras wanted too much money. They were ready to go that route, but Machado didn't want to come here. But you look at that, so we know that Harper's, I think, a better player than Machado. But Machado, he's something about the guys on that team that really rally. But I don't want to talk about Machado.
Well, we might see those two against each other in the LCS again in 2 weeks, a week.
There's a lot of good things about that because the Phillies would have the home field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but there's one bad thing.
San Diego's
Eagles
good.
Play on Sunday, and that game would be here on Sunday.
Ah, now that'd be fine. 1 o'clock Eagles games and a night game for the Phillies
but
and Padres.
You know what the parking lot would be like?
Oh, bananas. Stop worrying about that. That'd be an all-time day, Howard. Come on now.
And the switchover from the Eagles game to the Phillies.
Yeah, you walk right over.
Yeah.
I know. But, you know, the Phillies did the things. They won the game, so that's what they had to do. But I'm still I'm still concerned about the bullpen.
Mm.
Hoffman... We thought he was the guy, and I'm not so sure that he's – who is their closer? But the Mets are in the same situation. They'll have a good game from their closers, and then they'll – garbage. What they did yesterday was perfect for the Phillies. And the Phillies, to their credit, hit – they threw up a lot of bad pitches, and the Phillies hit them.
Yep.
And that's what you have to do. And they did do that.
Howard, what's your feeling
Rocky
now?
Rocky would have been proud.
Very proud. I mean, those at-bats.
He'd be disappointed in you, though, Howard.
Well, that's not the first time. Howard, what's your feeling rest of this series here? What are we looking at now?
I think it's a five-game series. And the fifth game is Friday in Philadelphia with Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be in better shape. Although the team ought to try to score more than one or two runs for Wheeler.
That would be nice, yeah. Give him some support out there.
Yeah, so that would be interesting. But, yeah, how can you not think it's going to – Phillies, I'd be surprised if they win the next two games. So you split, you come to Philadelphia, you play game five, and your best pitcher's on the mound. I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking at. It's a really good series. With two very good teams, Phillies are still a better team than the Mets, but the Mets are a good team. So you can't take them lightly. And remember, they lost, what was it? They lost to Milwaukee in the second game after winning the first game,
yep.
And they came back and won the third game.
They did in the ninth inning. Yeah, they're resilient. They're tough. They're going to be hard out here. No, they won't, Howard. And if they win it in five here, and it's a tough series, you know who'd be proud? Rocky Howard.
Rocky would be proud.
Very proud.
Darn, I got to get a hold of Sylvester Stallone and see if he can track down Rocky, because he just played the part.
Maybe he'll throw out the first pitch on Friday night, Howard. Maybe.
You know what? Why not?
That would be awesome.
Oh yeah, then you'd have.
Filming the Tulsa, he's filming King of Tulsa, ain't he?
I don't care. Put that on pause. Get to Philadelphia. Throw the first pitch.
Yeah, well, I guess you're right about that. Yeah.
It'd be just perfect. Oh my God, it would be perfect. It's just, you know, oh my gosh, I can't wait for that moment. It would be just so special.
All right, Howard. Quickly, just one. I'm going to sneak one football question in before we say goodbye this week.
Go ahead,
Howard. Are you officially concerned that the Commanders are a good football team?
I don't know if concern would be the right word, but their quarterback is mm-hmm. good.
He bona fide. Looked bona fide.
It's just, he is good. It's amazing how the first quarterback taken, I would say if you go over the last 15 years, is not the quarterback that's the star in the NFL. He was the second
pick. He was second, right? Behind Williams, yep.
Yep, and I'm not a big Caleb Williams fan. But I'm concerned, I guess, yeah. The Commanders, it'll be interesting. The first time they play each other is here. I believe it's a Thursday night game.
It is. I think November 14th or something, about a month from now.
I just that'll be interesting to see which quarterback plays better in that game. And I will say this, on Sunday, because we know the Browns just flat out stink.
Right.
If Jalen Hurts doesn't have a breakout game, I am concerned.
This should be a lock win. It's their third straight road game. The Eagles off a bye. This should be the easiest win of the year.
They're like an 8.5-point favorite. I mean, it's a joke. It's just Cleveland is horrible. If he doesn't have, and I know Jim Schwartz is the defensive coordinator, and he usually does a pretty good job, but he's got to have a breakout game. And they'll run the ball, and they'll do all those things. But he's just got to be more efficient. And this is the game that you need to do it, because now Cincinnati, if they're not really angry with the way they're playing, they just can't keep on losing. And the following game, I think, is the following game at Cincinnati?
No, it's at Giants and at Cincinnati.
At the Giants. Yep. And then Cincinnati. Yep. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. And the Giants still stink. I don't care if they won. Seattle stinks too. That's where everything falls into place, because the NFC is not that good.
It's not. It's more mediocre than good. We'll see, though. We're on agreement on this. The Eagles better blow this team out. Howard, we'll talk to you later on.
Hey, can you give me a little Rocky music as I get
it? I mean, always, Howard. That's there for you.
That's a staple.
Are you pumped up now, Howard?
I can't take it anymore. I'm going to go out and I'm just going to run all over the city.
All right, Howard. Don't hurt yourself. There he goes. Howard Eskin. With us, as always, spreading cheer. I mean, the fact that you're with Howard today, does that make you feel good?
It can't. I thought it was kind of interesting because that's the first time that's happened in forever.
That means you're wrong. On the other side, your phone calls, and will Hugh apologize to Castellanos? 215-592-9049 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
At one ball, two strikes. Looks back at second. The pitch. Swung on. Line down the left field line. And that's going to win it. Castellanos has done it. Turner is scoring. And the Phillies walk it off here in the bottom of the ninth. A game two victory, 7-6, as the Phillies come racing out of the dugout. Dancing around between first and second as Nick Castellanos has won the ball game.
Listen to that highlight, Hugh.
That's awesome.
And you hear what's under, right? You hear that song?
Yeah, that song, Too Late to Apologize.
It's not too late, Hugh. It's not.
That's the mantra that I'm going with.
No,
too late.
No, it's not too late. Hugh Douglas, apologize to Nick.
Nope. See, for doing
again,
his job, nope.
Don't you feel bad when the studio audience here boos you?
Nope.
And why? I feel bad for them. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. This segment.
I live in Philly. Yeah. I'm not, like, booing is a part of the landscape.
And Castellanos have more in common than you realize. This segment sponsored.
Well, they don't know who he is.
By PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQ POS. MLB.com. All right, Castellanos yesterday, obviously the hero of the game. The home run to tie it in the sixth. He has a single to set up the Stott triple in the eighth, and then he walks it off in the ninth inning to give the Phillies a victory. Let's hear Topper on Castellanos and what he's done all season here.
I'm so happy for him because I know that there's been a lot of talk about Chase and this and that, but he can hit. I mean, he can hit. That was a big night for him tonight. You know, the home run to tie it up and then the base hit to win it. He's just been grinding all year.
He has been, and he's been a different player since the middle of June.
He's been Iron Man. He's been out there every game.
Every single game.
Every game.
The kind of guy that you would think someone would apologize to when they
rip him. Would the Iron Man be proud?
Cal Ripken would be. Or the Iron, you mean the superhero or the baseball player?
Yeah, the fictional.
All of them. They'd all be proud.
They'd all be proud of him.
How about Ruben Amaro Jr. this morning talking about Castellanos? He gets it. He gets what Castellanos meant to this baseball team.
I got
to
say this. When this team basically went in the tank, they had nine guys in that lineup from the second half on who just were not that good. Nick Castellanos was their best player and their most effective offensive player, and he basically carried them to like 500 baseball in the second half of the
final
season.
2 months or so. That's
because
right.
It was all him. I guarantee you, you look at the numbers, I mean, he was the best player they had and the most consistent player they had. So, I mean, he deserves a lot of love.
How about that? Baseball guys like Topper and Ruben saying it.
Did Ruben apologize?
Ruben didn't have to apologize.
He said a lot of love. He gave him a lot of love. He deserves love.
Well, Ruben's not ripping him the way you were sat idle and watched people rip Castellanos.
The way I sat idle.
You did.
I can't believe I'm getting ridiculed for sitting idle. Not ripping him, but just not saying anything to defend him.
Guilt by association, okay? And if I recall right, Kyle and I apologize. We're past this.
Kyle
now.
Apologized?
Yes.
Of course I did.
I don't recall Kyle.
Oh, he did. We could find it. But
pull
I know,
the tape.
Yeah. Kyle apologized. I apologized. Many apologized. Hugh, you didn't. And now look at Castellanos with this team 10 wins away from a championship. Terry's up next. What's up, Terry?
You got to apologize, man.
Tell him, Terry.
I gotta apologize. See? Everybody's getting on you. When he came clutch, he came in yesterday and showed everybody.
No, but it ain't got nothing to do with me. I didn't. That's not my fight.
It might. You heard Castellanos. He takes those things personally.
Yes.
Like bullying works with Nick.
I didn't say anything. I just kind of was.
You
complicit.
Stood by. And were complicit.
I was complicit.
I mean, let me go on and on about how this guy stunk.
I mean,
how dare you, Hugh?
On a lot of things.
Right, but you're complicit in that.
I just think it's a mutual understanding because you let me go on silly stuff like, you know, whether it's a chicken, is a egg or whatever. What is it, fried chicken?
That was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot. So you let me go, so I just give you grace.
I need WIP to start a post today. What is Hugh saying? That Hugh needs apologies.
Oh, this is a station-wide push, yeah. This is
probably not going to happen.
Well, he's going to have to stand up at the parade and do it in front of 2 million people. So
what are you going to do if he comes in clutch on the World Series we get there and he comes over that home run?
You know what I'm going to say? Congratulations. Well deserved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to try to get him on the show so you can talk to him personally online.
Yeah, and I was like,
that would be awesome,
I will tell him to his face, good job for doing your job.
Well, we'll set it up, Terry. We'll let Castellanos know what Hugh was doing back in June. I mean, we'll let him know. Terry, good phone call here. All right, speaking of Hugh saying things, you can hang out with Hugh while he says things. Hugh, you're doing a watch party tomorrow night. Is this right?
Yes.
Tomorrow
Where
night.
Where is it? Where am I doing it?
I'll let you know. You're going to be at the New Deck Tavern in University City tomorrow night.
New Deck Tavern. That's like right across the street, ain't it?
University City, yep. All brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite. Bring your rally towels. Let's unite together for the fightins. Come an hour before the game and enjoy $1 Miller Lite drafts, $4 Miller Lite drafts during the game. New Deck has great food like brick oven pizzas, hot roast beef sandwiches.
Ooh, I like a roast beef sandwich.
You're
going
to have those. Tomorrow night, WIP's Game 3 watch party at the New Deck Tavern in University City. First pitch, 5:08.
Shoot me that address.
I will. It's Miller Time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Are we sure Hugh's got that?
I'm going to just give you the piece of paper. You hold on to that one, all right?
Yeah, shoot me that address.
So it is, have we dubbed this the Hugh Hopes party instead of the High Hopes?
Yes, I guess the Hugh Hopes watch party.
Yep. The Hugh Hopes watch party.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
I guess because Jack took off for New York or they're going to
unbelievable.
Game 3, they're going the afternoon show.
The Hugh Hopes watch party.
It's the Hugh Hopes watch party tomorrow night.
It's just going to be the Hugh Hopes podcast. It's just this the whole time.
I can't even.
That will get a lot of
downloads.
How long
that'll last?
I think it lasts a long time. All right, let's talk to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Huge old Kyle, what's up, man?
What's going on,
hey, Terrence, what's up, buddy?
Speaking of hopes, down in the Phillies have high hopes, man. I don't know what it is with the Philadelphia teams and being a front runner or a number one seed, but they sure do make you have anxiety out of this world, don't they, man? It was kind of like a boxing match watching that match. I mean, watching that game.
Yeah, Rocky would have been proud.
Rocky and Apollo. That's exactly what it was.
Every time the Mets came, the Phillies answered. And I feel like when Harper hit that home run, he lit a fire under the team, and everybody else changed their approach to the plate. I feel like that woke them up, and Harper just keeps doing this time and time again. He keeps waking up the Philadelphia Phillies. And we have to give Cassiano some credit here, because if they're going to continue to walk Harper, he has to continue to make them pay. And that's the only way that we're going to get Harper some pitches here.
Well, you're right about that. And you know what? That's why I'm glad Topper made the switch and has Castellanos behind him and not Bohm. I even though Castellanos is going to have some bad at-bats, I trust he's going to do some damage in that spot.
Yeah, and I feel like we have to go to New York. We have to take this. If we go to New York and win this game, I feel like we'll win this series. New York, they're running on fumes right now, and we all know that. And they're just, we have to have the same approach they have. We have to go to the plate and not try to get home runs and just try to get hits. Now, I'm a little worried about our bullpen bleeding a little bit, but Matt, I don't know if Topper should keep. You know, we did this with Kimbrel. He kept trusting Kimbrel, and he kept getting burnt with Kimbrel. So I hope he can find somebody out there bullpen that he can trust, because I feel like that's going to be a major factor, a major key.
It's
going.
Estevez.
I like Estevez too. I like Estevez.
But you know what the funny thing about it? Going into the not to cut you off, Terrence, but going into this series, he was the guy that you worried about the most.
He was the weak link, we thought.
But he's been the clutch guy.
I'm still not ready to get off that. If you tell me the game tomorrow they have a one run lead in the eighth inning, I still would be okay with Hoffman or Strom out there. Now if it goes bad again, Terrence, then we gotta reevaluate this, but I'm not done with those guys yet.
And I need more from Trey Turner. He had that good. I think he drew a walk.
Yeah, ninth inning walk. Yep.
When Harper hit the home run, but we need more from out of Trey, man. He's getting paid too much money. We need him to come. We know Schwarber didn't have a good game, but we need a guy to follow Harper's lead. You know, Harper is a catalyst, and you guys got to remember your legacy's on the line. This is the perfect opportunity. The Mets. I'm not scared of the Mets, but the Mets. It's like a psychological thing, because they're a division foe, and they're trying to run off what the Phillies did the last couple of years. Man, let's go in here tomorrow and kick these guys' ass, and let's bring it home.
Let's do it, Terrence. Good stuff, man. We appreciate it. Well, I think that's part of the bullpen issue, is the Mets are not fooled by these guys, Hugh. They've seen them a lot. I mean, they play 13 times a year. You know, Strom and Hoffman have been here multiple years. Like, they've seen these relief pitchers. That might be why, to your point on Estevez, he was an angel, right? He just got to the Phillies late July, beginning of August. I can't recall off the top of my head how many times he pitched against the Mets down the stretch of the regular season, but they probably haven't seen him as much as they've seen these Phillies guys.
Yeah, and he's excited about being here. The one thing that sticks out to me is that he's reveling in this playoff atmosphere. That's something that he's never been a part of, and he said that. And I think he's kind of feeding off of that, because the fans are giving him juice. So that's probably a little bit of it as well.
Probably is. Mark at Woodbury Heights is up. What's up, Mark?
Well, here's the deal, Joe. I'm very excited about the win, obviously, like everybody else. But here's what's frustrating about this team. And it's Castellanos and Turner and Remuto and Bohm. They're plate discipline. They won that game yesterday, and that last caller was right. After Harper hit the home run, everybody's approach at the plate changed. They were patient. They didn't go chasing. You know, that's, if they can't rail that in and go to the plate with discipline, I don't know if they can win this series. I really don't. I'm not trying to be negative. But that's the biggest issue with this team. And Castellanos, you know, when he's not swinging at pitches 5 feet out of the strike zone, he's a really dangerous guy to deal with, right?
Oh, of course. And, I mean, he's an extra base hit machine when he swings at pitches in the strike zone,
And Turner last night showed discipline in that last at bat. He didn't go after that breaking ball that cuts to the outside. You know, and I don't understand why these guys struggle. I know it's not easy to hit a baseball. I understand that. And sometimes you're going to swing at bad pitches. But if you want to win the World Series and be the best, you know, around, you have to have discipline at the plate. Can they do that? Can they do that, in your opinion?
I think they can. It's just, Mark, can they do it enough games in a row to win the World Series is the question. Like, they can. I think the part that you and I and a lot of people are frustrated with them is they have, you saw it yesterday, like, they can do it, right? Like, it's almost a matter of concentration. Like, can they hone in and focus enough?
Can they remember to do it?
Can they remember to do it? Can they not forget what got them here? I think they can, but Mark, they're going to be more tested every game because everyone in baseball by now knows their weakness. Like, throw them slop and see if they don't swing at it.
Yeah, because they lead the major leagues in chase rate, right? Going back to, what, July? I mean, and you're going to play in a bigger ballpark tomorrow night. The weather's going to be cooler. You know, you cannot rely on the home run. You know, who do you blame for this issue? Like, I know the players, obviously, but does Topper take any responsibility with this?
You know what? I think maybe more the hitting coach. And Mark, it's a good phone call. I don't know how much Topper could change of it. I mean, Hugh, this happens in every sport. Players have tendencies, right? Like,
yeah. You go back to what makes you comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, if we're really an overarching point is, now they're good and they might win the World Series, but maybe they built the team with too many of these guys. You could go to the construction of the team, right? How many hitters can you have that are like this at the same time? Now, I think Schwarber and Harper are not like that, Hugh, right? They are much more disciplined at the plate. They'll take walks. They won't swing as many bad pitches. I think Stott, actually, when he's locked in, is really good at it too. So it's just a matter of, can they get through it, right? Can they lock in enough? And I'm glad he brought up the turnaround. I thought the turnaround bat in the ninth inning was one of the best at-bats of the game. Because you go back to that at-bat, Hugh, there were four balls that were thrown to Turner there, and two of them he swings at a lot, and he didn't do it that time.
Yeah, and part of that was the reason why we went home so early last year.
Yep.
And I think that being in a game like that, having the game happen the way that it did Saturday, and then see a little bit of that happening on Sunday, at that moment when Bryce did what he did, yeah, that's when everybody kind of locked in. You need moments like that sometime. I think they'll be fine. I think the momentum has shifted back to the Phillies in that situation because they kind of know what they have to do.
Well, the other thing is maybe he's need to be yelled at sometimes. Here's Castellanos after the game talking about what he's thinking and what happened after he got, you know, booed and sarcastically cheered.
He seemed relatively displeased, like, after you took the pitch. There was an 0-2 pitch in the dirt. The crowd kind of gave you a sarcastic cheer. What was kind of going through your head in that moment?
I had a lot of thoughts run through my head.
What was your reaction to the Bronx cheer kind of the booing fans earlier, and then what adjustment did you make in the game to have better bats?
I don't know. I was just kind of frustrated, so I guess I locked in more.
Frustrated, so I locked in more. You boo him, he locks in more.
Yeah. That's what it takes for a professional hitter to do his job, is for people to boo him and make him lock in even more. You would think that in that moment, you know, in the stakes of the situation would be high enough for you to be locked in anyway. But no, you need to get your feelings hurt and say, you people, you foo-fanging people, to get going. That's
Some
what it takes.
Some people need different kind of motivation.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing to me.
Now, we can do without the you peoples, though.
No, but I'm saying, you in a moment where if you lose this game, you're on the brink of going home a lot earlier.
Well, we would have gotten
than you anticipated. But no, you know what I need them for me to lock in?
What's
I
that?
Need people to talk bad to me. I need them to call me mean and hurtful names on my son at the game.
Bullying's good.
In.
How many calls today to WIP about Castellanos' future here if he didn't do what he did?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been endless. Get him out of here.
It would have been
him, but I'm saying,
Stott.
We talked about this all year long. We talked about it when we went home last year, how we had to get back to this moment. But you weren't locked in until everybody started calling you mean and hurtful names.
I think the real.
But y'all want me to apologize.
I do. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, you have to.
I think the truth of this is
it's not going to happen.
This is easier said than done. They are trying, right? They talked about it for a year. They did not try Saturday to not swing at bad pitches. I just think free swingers swing at bad pitches. It's like it's in their DNA as players. I don't think Castellanos is ever changing. He might do enough to help them win the World Series. No. Turner's not going to just like wake up tomorrow and you know be the Mr. Selective up there. We just got to hope it's good enough.
He says all the time he doesn't have an approach at the plate.
Cassianos.
You can tell he doesn't. Moment.
Like, yeah. He doesn't. I don't know if he ever goes up and changes his approach.
Hitball.
Right. But I do think it's sometimes he tries to tell himself, like, I need to be a little bit more selective here, less aggressive. Yeah. Like, I don't know if he's entirely changing his approach, but he definitely changes his mindset going into some of those at bats.
I feel that too. Let's talk to Black Gritty, who's up on WIP. Hey, Black Gritty.
Guys!
Black Gritty!
We ain't apologizing to nobody out here in these streets, okay? This is Philadelphia. You know what? When he said what he said, you know what I mean? Everybody's in the home watching it. Oh, yeah, we was about to eject him. Eject Osito, cuz we was about to get my boy up out of here. But if that's what you need to get yourself motivated, if that's what you need to remind you, like, yeah, I am swinging like trash. 40,000 people just saw it, and half of them are up in the bleachers. But they saw me. Oh, come on, baby. And then we're in the lock-in doing it. Nick, guess what? You are a Philadelphia. You are officially a Philadelphia. We still might get rid of you, but we love you because that's how it is. You know dang darn well. Sometimes you need to motivate somebody, and that's what we do. And we just sat there like, oh, well, you know, you just, nah, dude. I paid $500, $2,000 to sit here and watch you swing like a middle schooler. Straighten it up. And what did he do? Oh, God. Bryce, thank you for choosing me. You know what I'm saying? I felt like Kyle this weekend. Kyle, I don't know how you do it. You probably got an ulcer or something because the stress levels are so dang I'm hot.
Kyle's an idiot.
No, shut up, Kyle.
I ain't apologizing.
Shut up.
Ain't no apologizing around here.
Because at the end of the day, at that moment, that's what tightened him up. Because free swinger, whatever you want to say, it made him change his approach. And if that's what we got to do, then that's what needs to get done. Because they obviously got a strategy with Bryce, you know, trying to walk him. If you give him anything, he's Mr. Clutch. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it in my life in baseball. Like, if you give him anything in the postseason, he's usually taking care of business. So it's 1-1. I'm still stressed out. I'm going to feel like Kyle for the rest of the series.
There we go, Black Gritty.
He did that for Rocky. Rocky would have been proud of that.
Of course. Yeah. Of course he would have been proud. By the way, speaking of Bryce Harper locking in, Bryce Harper has played 32 games in the playoffs with the Phillies. He is hitting .327 with 12 home runs in 32 games. An OPS of 1,171. That, you know what that is? That's Barry Bonds, Ted Williams kind of numbers right there. I mean, he is one of the greatest October hitters in the history of baseball. It is unbelievable. It's like, I keep waiting for him to stop doing it because it feels like it's almost impossible to keep doing it at this level, and he keeps doing it.
He lives for this moment, man, and it's obvious. And you always, every time he's at bat, you always are waiting for that moment to come about. And he's lived up to it so far since he's been here.
For me, he's the modern day Mr. October, like what Reggie Jackson was, and then David Ortiz kind of took that mantle for a little bit. There's only one thing missing, Hugh, to be in their category.
You got to win it all. He knows that.
Yeah, he does, and he's off to a good start. And I the Mets are going to keep trying to walk him. Now he took the walk in the ninth inning. I thought he chased Saturday in the fifth inning, but if they give him pitches to hit like Severino did early in the game, I mean he's going to crush it. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board. On the other side, we're reacting to the split. Here. Do you feel good about this series? And let's see if we can get here to apologize to Nick Castellanos. I mean, early in the summer, he sat by idly as all of us ripped Castellanos one by one, didn't say anything. I apologized a couple months ago. Kyle apologized. We're in a good spot with Castellanos now. Like, I feel good rooting for Castellanos. Hugh, you got to get there. We'll see if we'll do it. When we get back, we'll get into Topper's huge decision he has to make for Game 3. We know what he did in Game 2. What is he going to do in Game 3? What should he do? That is on the other side. 215-592-9494. It's a midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Look, hair thins as you get older. Happened to me. Happens to everybody. You know what? I went to see Dr. Rafi, an expert, the doctor I trust the most at Precision Hair Restoration. He opened my eyes to the cutting-edge Artis IX robotic hair transplant. And a lot of people, you should consider this procedure. Are you newly single, have an upcoming wedding or job interview, or just want your hair back? Dr. Rafi can help. Call Dr. Rafi, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100. Get your confidence back or visit PhillyHairMD.com. PhillyHairMD.com. Midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up at 1:30, Rob Thompson's press conference. And you know what he's going to be asked? He's going to be asked about Alec Boehm. Is he starting tomorrow?
Is he going to be out there?
Well, here's the question. So tomorrow's Game 3, right? We got Sean Manaea on the mound for the Mets, their best pitcher, a left-handed pitcher. Hugh, typically against lefties down the stretch of the season, the way it works is Sosa plays, but Bryson Stott is the one that sits. Stott sits against lefties. Sosa would play second base, but Stott just had the big at-bat in game two where he got the triple down the line. He had a good at-bat there. So Sosa usually plays against lefties. I think it's tough to take Stott out after that at-bat the other day. But then what do you do here with Alec Bohm? Bohm typically hits lefties better. Like, if this was the regular season, my guess would be Stott would sit, Bohm plays third, Sosa plays second. What do you think? Is Bohm back in tomorrow?
I would say, given that he was not out there yesterday and you're probably going to need him down the stretch, yes. I think that you have to go with your regular, the way that you regularly do things. So I would say yes.
So you said regularly do things. So that would mean Bohm, but do you sit Stott for Sosa after Stott's big moment last night? Because that's their typical lineup against lefties is Sosa at second. Obviously, Bohm.
So you said sit Stott. Am I going
to
sit him?
That would be the, if we're going back to what he did during the season down the stretch, that's the way we saw it a lot. Sosa
second.
That's
a good question.
I know. I think it's a hard one. Because you kind of want to go with what got you here, but now we're dealing with this Bohm thing. Here's what I'll say about this. If Bohm doesn't play tomorrow, then he's not
going to play for a while.
Well, because they're starting another lefty on Wednesday. I guess Wednesday would be game four, Quintana. I mean, I'll just put it this way. If Bohm doesn't play against a lefty, that's who he hits better than righties, then Bohm's not playing anymore. My guess is Bohm is going to play tomorrow. I think he's going to sit Stott. I think Sosa's going to play second base tomorrow. And I think Bohm's going to be back in there. I would be okay with sitting Bohm again. I didn't love the at-bats in game one. I didn't love the way he hit down the stretch. I don't feel like I need him right now.
Well,
it
all depends on how do you think he's going to react to it?
Not well.
I know you don't care. I know you're big on major league buddies and not your feelings.
Are you afraid of losing him?
Yes. That's my point. That's where I'm at.
I think it's a fair question. I mean, Bohm is...
That's what I'm afraid of, because there's going to be times. And, this is how I think when it comes to players. Everybody's not built for that moment that you're asking for, and it feels like Bohm's not that guy. It feels like he's not that guy that would receive it. Probably was a little bit miffed because he got set down.
I'm sure he was.
And to have him sit down back-to-back days, I don't think that would be good for his mental.
I think actually complicating is Stott's triple last night. If Stott goes 0-for-4, it's like, all right, Bohm, you go back in. Stott, you take a day against a lefty. We'll put Sosa in there. Kyle, what's your thought on this? Is he has three players for two spots tomorrow night.
So Bohm is aggravating me as much as anybody else.
Yep.
I hate that he acts like a baby. I hate the temper tantrums. I hate that he's swinging at every freaking first pitch as soon as he gets up to the plate.
Like he did in the pinch hitting spot yesterday?
That's a serious problem. But, like... I'm sort of with you in that I think you lose him. If you sit him again and if you sort of go away from him in the NLDS, like, this is a spot where I forego the Major League Buddies thing and have to take the long view of this entire thing. Like, if they advance to the NLCS and then the World Series, like, I think one of the most important things that can happen for this Phillies lineup is that Alec Bohm gets going the way that he was at some point in the season, because Bohm's not, like, all power or nothing guy. He's one of those dudes that's supposed to scrape you like a hit to the other side of the field, or like, a double into the gap.
Well, like we saw the Mets do in the eighth inning on
Saturday.
Exactly.
And we don't have too many of those guys in our lineup. A lot of our guys are the boomer bust type guys. So I don't think, I think this is a spot where I give him another chance. I think what I would not have done is put him in that pinch hit spot for Sosa. I think you had to go away from him for an entire day. So I didn't love that. But I think going back to him in game three is something that they kind of have to do. And I think you need to keep Stott in there, too. Like, if could you imagine if they get his bat going also? Like, he's one of those guys that, I mean, his plate approach is supposed to be completely different from all the other guys, where the guys are chasing everything and they're just, swinging at the first pitch and stuff. Stott's supposed to be the guy that can work a count and get, like, a 9-pitch at bat that he ends up roping down the right field line. Like, so if they can get that out of Stott and they can get that out of Bohm, like, I think that's way more important than just, having a quote-unquote energizing hit from Edmundo Sosa at some point.
So for what it's worth, and it's not a big sample on either side, Bohm against Minaya. That's the starter tomorrow for the Mets. Bohm is 2-for-9, does have a home run. Hugh Sosa is 4-for-8 with a home run off of Minaya. I think it's a tough call for Topper. I think it's a tough call.
Yeah. But like I said, you're probably going to need Bohm down the stretch, and you don't want him to be pouty.
You know what I think happened yesterday? He put the seed in, though, that if you don't hit, you're not playing. Like, I'll just take you back out. Like, you have to hit to play. I think that's actually a good thing. Now, he probably puts Bohm back in tomorrow. If I had to guess right now, I think Bohm's in the lineup. But if Bohm goes 0 for 4 tomorrow, he's not back in lineup game 4.
I agree. Like, I love the decision to do it. It definitely shows that Topper's trying to be a little bit more proactive in this playoff run than he is. Like, you know, I'm just going to stick to my guy, stick with what got me here. Like, but I didn't love Bohm's response to it. Like, he came in at that spot, pinch hit, swung at the first pitch.
I know.
Got out, and then looked like a mopey baby again. So it didn't really look like it worked for him.
Yeah, it didn't. All right, do you feel good about this series after the weekend split? Yes, it's 64%, no, or 36%. One of our two Twitter polls. Also, which two of these three players would you start in Game 3? That's one of our Twitter polls today, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. So the voting early on in this poll, Hugh, 58% want to see Bohm and Stott in tomorrow. 32% want to see Sosa and Stott. 10% Sosa and Bohm. So 32% of people want Bohm benched again tomorrow. That's what I take out of the poll. 32% of the people want the same thing as yesterday. Jake and Delco's up. Hey, Jake.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Jake? How are we feeling?
Ah, good. First of all, I'd like to wish happy birthday to my lovely wife, Kristen.
Happy birthday, Kristen.
Thank you very much. Kristen, I love you. So, first thing I wanted to point out is, you know that play before the Bryce home run when Severino got pulled over to the bag and got the out? And he put his foot on the base, and then he did this little
shimmy,
shake your tail feather shimmy.
Yep.
Yeah, Diddy would have been proud. Or Nelly, whoever that song was. Right after that, Bryce hits a home run. Is that a coincidence or no? Because they started getting real cute out there, you know. And the Phillies have things that they do too. They have their celebrations, but there's a way that the Mets do it that the Phillies don't quite do it. It's almost like a disrespectful thing with the Mets and with the chef's kiss and all that. They're very antagonistic, and I love that we just punched them right in the mouth for it. I also love the benching by Topper. I think that shows, you know, the first thing I thought right away is, wow, this is from last year and what happened. And he said he was going to think about it, and shows he did think about it, and he made his decision what he's going to do in these type of situations. And, you know, you have that going on, and then you have the fan yelling at Castellanos in Al Field, and then the fans giving the Bronx cheer or whatever it is.
Awesome. Castellanos.
You know, that whole dynamic of giving them that, the boo and all that stuff, and benching Stott and then getting good results out of it. For me, it's the complete opposite of something like a fake standing ovation. It's very, very Philly, and I like it.
It was totally authentic. It was totally real in the moment. I mean, you can't – that's not a thing you could, like, get a movement to do. And, Jake, we appreciate the phone call. That was just – it was visceral, Hugh. It was a real reaction. Like, hey – you're swinging at crap. Stop. And it was, I thought the frustration of Castellanos, he kind of got the, he wore it for everyone, but he was kind of the symbol of it. Cause some of those swings he had in that at bat were just dreadful. And then he locked back in for whatever reason. He figured it out. 215-592-9494. The Rob Thompson press conference coming your way at 1:30 today. All right. There is one thing from the first couple games here that is a worry. We'll discuss it next. How big of a worry is it moving forward? That and your calls. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.